So listen, a possible legislative compromise that attempts to address concerns raised yesterday by restaurant owners facing a class action lawsuit over state wage and hour rules received mixed reviews yesterday. We're talking about the possible elimination of tipping your waiter or waitress, which dominated our airwaves yesterday morning.
Sure did.
When we had Senate Minority Leader Len Fasano broke this story right here with us. While members of the Connecticut Restaurant Association told state lawmakers yesterday that they support much of the working draft legislation crafted largely by Governor Ned Lamont's administration, union leaders and some restaurant workers said they believe the proposal still puts waitstaff and tip workers at a disadvantage when trying to recoup wages they're owed. And here's a quote. "We need a process that includes the concerns of workers," said James Bondari Alexander, staff attorney at New Haven Legal Assistance Association, who represents restaurant workers in wage-related matters. "A bill that doesn't include something positive for workers is not a compromise. Restaurant owners have urged the General Assembly to clarify the state's wage rules, saying certain inconsistencies have become the subject of litigation. Some owners are facing the possibility of paying costly fines and back wages after being told for years it's legal not to count every minute their servers and bartenders perform a side task other than serving, so long as it's less than 20% of their shift."
You know, this has got to be... this is wrong.
All right, so what we're going to do, Brad, is we're going to bring in state representative and restaurant owner himself, my former colleague, Dave Rattigliano. Representative Rattigliano, good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
How are you this morning?
I am well. Is this my friend Gary Byron?
Ah, yes. What's up there, brother?
I can't tell you how much we miss you, my friend.
Oh. God bless you, man. Thank you so much. It's great to hear that. It's great to hear your voice, too.
Yes. Well, it's good to be heard. So I heard your little synopsis of what happened yesterday.
Yeah.
That
and,
was unbelievable.
I would say that the mixed reviews were from two or three people and a couple of people on the labor committee. Other than that, this bill, which was proposed by the Speaker of the House, had full bipartisan support in the House and only three no votes in the Senate. We have been at a loss of this entire time of why the governor vetoed it.
Now, when you say the bill, describe the bill for me that you're referencing.
So basically what happened is that the restaurants and people who have tipped employees follow a set of rules. The same rule has been in place for decades. The Department of Labor provides guidance or a little packet to everybody saying, hey, here's your guidelines for wage and hour as it regards to tip people. Mm-hmm. So the vast majority of restaurants follow those rules. Well, it turns out that they made a mistake in those rules. And that mistake in those rules was exploited by a lawyer who has now brought class action suits against multiple restaurants in the state. So all the people in the Speaker of the House agreed said was, hey, why don't we get together, create a new set of rules so that everybody knows what's going on and then nobody can get sued. And that's basically what happened. The bill that passed didn't tell you how to handle tipped employees. It told the Department of Labor to promulgate regulations so that everybody's on the same page. That's it.
So there's this uproar now that waiters and waitresses are feeling that there's a potential for them to no longer be receiving tips. In fact, what they're scared of is that they'd be placed on minimum wage and a service fee would be added to the bill by the customer. And that service fee has the potential to be either A, withheld to any of the workers and kept by management or the owner, or B, split up with busboys and line cooks and where the waiter or waitress would not receive 100% of that service fee in lieu of a tip.
So that this bill doesn't address that directly. This bill doesn't say that. But there is many of folks on the far left, the progressive side of the Democrat Party, that think tipping and that the server wage, the sub-minimum wage, shouldn't be legal and that everybody should get paid the full minimum wage at $15 an hour. In response to that, many restaurant owners have said, listen, if you make them 15, there's no way that we're going to pay them full 15 and then have them retain their tips also. The tips can go into a pool and help defray the cost of everybody else in the restaurant that got a raise up to $15 through their minimum wage. So once somebody doesn't get paid sub-minimum or a server wage, the tip now becomes anything that the owner wants it to be. If you pay somebody sub-minimum, the tip belongs to them. You no. can't touch it.
Who are the ones? Who are the ones that are really tied into this and can do this and have done it already?
What do you mean?
We had it yesterday. I mean, the people that said now for these folks, they're not going to get what they should be getting. And it's just a group of people that said, no, you're not going to get that. That's what it boils down to.
I don't know if I completely understand what you're saying. So the reason for this particular piece of legislation and the hearing that we had yesterday was because in the absence of clear guidelines from the Labor Department, a lawyer sued and got a judge to agree to interpret the rules in their way. And now that made many a restaurant subject to lawsuit and class action lawsuits.
What was it?
The bill. What?
Go ahead.
The bill only seeks to have the Department of Labor come up with a new set of rules with everybody at the table coming up with new rules so that everybody knows the playing field and that nobody could run afoul of the rules unwittingly. Because that's kind of what happened here.
Yeah.
For a vast majority of these folks getting sued, they made sort of a simple error. They were following Department of Labor guidelines that were printed, and they only took them off their website last December, by the way. Were printed, and it turns out that they were correct,
yeah.
And they were exploited by a law firm, and that's where we're sitting. So we were just trying to fix it.
So would you say it was open for interpretation, and depending on how you interpreted it, would be how you follow through? It just sounds like there's a lot of ambiguity.
So we believe that the current situation is open interpretation,
right?
Because it says is if you're a server, you have to actually, in order to get sub-minimum wage or server wage or tip wage, whatever you want to call it,
yep.
You must be actively in the process of serving someone. You can't be the parking lot attendant. You can't be to go in there and clean the bathroom. It's not a duty that is accustomed to your job,
sure.
Right?
Yep.
So we're saying for the vast majority of restaurants, they fill up silverware, they fill up salt and pepper shakers,
yep.
They bring ketchup, they clean broken glass. That's not directly service-related, but it's service-related. And the Department of Labor has said, historically, we get it. You're not going to be able to segregate time while they're waiting on a table if they've got to cut a lemon. It's impractical for them to punch out, cut a lemon, punch back in at a different rate.
Right.
So as long as over 80% of their job is serving the customer and the other 20 is sort of incidental to serving the customer, filling up a ketchup, grabbing a salt, cutting a lemon, we're good. You don't have to keep detailed records. Well, guess what? The law doesn't actually say that. So the rules that they wrote for restaurants in law say something different. They say, no, you must segregate all that time. Every second they're doing something non-service related, you have to pay them a different rate.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
This is where we sit.
That's
we're just
crazy.
Trying to fix it.
Yeah, that's...
And Gary, and you know how hard it is to get bipartisan support. The Speaker of the House, Joe Arison, which to his credit, understood the problem, thought it was unfair, put it on what he called the most important bill he added this year. It passed unanimously out of the House of Representatives.
So
I don't know exactly what more we're supposed to do to get support.
We had Len Fasano on yesterday, and he said that there's going to be a special session that's called to address this, to so that both chambers can vote on this and fix this law. Have you heard of any date for this special session to do that?
No, I have not. And one of the preconditions for the special session was that members of the Labor Committee had complained that this issue had never gotten a public hearing. And yesterday was to satisfy that requirement.
Okay.
So the only thing I know from the inside, and Gary, you were up there, so you get it, is that the House Democrats agree, the House Republicans, the governor, and the Senate Republicans are all on the same page. The governor wrote this office, wrote this compromise. Everybody signed off on it. Somebody needs to tell the Senate Democrats to get on board.
Well, what's all right? But what's preventing them from that, from getting on board?
It's a great question, and I think it's one of the reasons you and I are having this conversation, was that we hope people reach out to them and say, come on, let's vote on the bill.
So they're the ones holding it up.
I would say that that's true.
How can, you know, as the people listen to this and think about what we're talking about, they say, you know, how can these people run government when they do something like this? I mean, and it's just out of this world. And if we didn't do it yesterday, it wouldn't have gotten done.
Well, so the vast majority of the time, I agree with you about people who run our government and the frustrations that things don't go well. On this particular issue, it has been, in my history in the legislature, unbelievable the bipartisan support for it. There is a select few who are holding up the process.
Yeah, the Senate Democrats. But you've got to wonder what is behind that, or who is behind them not taking this up. Is it the unions that are influencing them?
That's a great question, Gary.
Well, I think that's the answer too.
So, are you by not answering that question? Are you suggesting maybe I'm onto something here?
Yeah, it's almost like you were in the legislature.
You know, it's almost like I never left.
There you go.
It's like you never left.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, listen, Dave, thank you so much for joining us this morning and shedding some light on this. Please stay in touch. We want to have you back on. You were fantastic this morning.
Anytime you call me, I'm there for you, Gary. Great to hear your voice.
Oh, right back at you there, brother. Thank you so much.